The public, of course, are talking now about what's going to happen in New Zealand and, more pertinently, what's happening in the rugby world right now. Can we garner anything from what's happening in the Tri Nations to what we're seeing in these so-called warm-up matches for the World Cup?
These are test matches in their own right, and teams are trying out different combinations and all sorts of things. All I know is that winning is good. And, you know, New Zealand, somebody said to me last week, oh, New Zealand should lose a game just to take a bit of pressure on them. I said, well, that actually puts more pressure on them. And actually every coach, just ask Martin Johnson, every coach knows that winning games creates a momentum and takes a lot of pressure off and you're on the right track. So for me, all teams that should be playing now should be going out to win games, not sort of hoisting their petard on the World Cup banner and saying, oh, we're in a great spot, we just lost 40 points, but we're in a great spot. You know, it's a convenient excuse, and at this stage coaches should be knowing more or less what their squad is, and they should be playing as hard as they possibly can to get wins on the board. And New Zealand are doing so, and what that creates from a New Zealand point of view is, yes, we all know they're the best team around at the moment, but that sets a benchmark. So all the other teams look, oh, well, if we're going to win this thing, we have to beat them. So how do we get more like them? And that narrows the gap. And align that with the huge amount of pressure that New Zealand have had on, not for the last 4 or 5 months, but for the last 4 years since they got knocked out of the last one. That's a lot of pressure. And how New Zealand cope with, at some stage during the tournament, they will go behind on the scoreboard or lose momentum or key injury, or and how they deal with that and cope with that, not saying, oh, here we go again, you know, it's happening again, but how they overcome that and then go through that will go a long way to deciding whether they can win a World Cup for the first time since 1987. Love saying that.
You've lived in England for, what, 15 years now. You know all about the pressure cooker that England work in. Is this a knee-jerk reaction, do you think, we've seen from the result at the Millennium Stadium? How do you view this England team with their challenge for this World Cup?
I think so. England were extremely disappointing on the weekend. I've always said that, you know, and forwards don't like it, but the easy part about rugby is winning the ball. It's what you do with it when you've got it. It's the hard part, and that's England continually find that out. But they're shown here, particularly in November against Australia here, they can play. And when they put their mind to it and free up the shackles a little bit, and they can play, and they're dangerous. And when you look at their group, they've got Scotland and Argentina in there, and all things being equal, you've got to think England fancy themselves to beat those two teams. And then, once again, all things being equal, they had come across France in a quarter. Last time they played France, they beat them. Then Australia in a semi, 40 points here at Twickenham, unfortunately, they won by. So once they get through their group, you know, the knockout stages shouldn't hold any great fears for England. Then you're a World Cup final, and they've got a forward pack that can compete with anybody. So, and some really talented backs, particularly back three, that can score from anywhere. So they are a team, potentially, that could compete, and I still believe they can.
Well, as a revered standoff, who is your number one, number 10? Because this thing between Flood and Wilkinson seems to be critical as to how this England team is going to perform, doesn't it?
It is. A fly half, very, very crucial in any team. I mean, Johnny Wilkinson's hard to go past. He's playing well at the moment, and he's worth, what, 16 points a game? That's a pretty good argument to start with. He's done it before with Martin Johnson, so John, I don't think has any qualms in putting him out there. My issue is who you're playing with in the centres. That's the problem for England, and I don't think you can play two centres exactly the same, like who offer same sort of benefits as England did on the weekend. I think Toby Flood's a good player. I think towards the end of the season he got a little bit tired, and his form seemed to suffer both for club and country a little bit, and that happens. But he's still a good player, and I might even look to playing them together. That'd solve the problem, wouldn't it?
Which way around?
I don't think it really matters. I think they could switch around, and both could be equal adept at 10 or 12. And defensively, they're both pretty strong. I mean, Johnny could play 12 defence, and there's nobody going through there. But what it does do is give options in terms of tactical kicking. It does give options in terms of their passing abilities. They're both good at that. They know each other. They've played together since they were kids at Newcastle. So, and it gives her a centre combination, a bit of a mix-up. That's one way of getting over the fly half debate, isn't it?